Thank you so much, BBS Radio, for making it possible for us to be heard worldwide over the internet. Another Wednesday episode here on the, let's see, February the 19th, 2020. If you have questions, the Elohim has answers. Questions and answers with the Elohim. And Lauren, thank you for being here. I'm not going to ask you how you're doing, because many people will still ask that.
I'm doing okay.
Good, good, good. And I noticed another person joining in. We welcome you. If you want to, please say a name and location.
John from Las Vegas.
Hello, John. Good evening. Welcome.
Las.
Hi, John.
Hi.
All right. So, and if you're listening in online through BBS Radio, we welcome you. We're 5 minutes away from the hour. Good evening. I welcome the next live caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Debbie from Costa Mesa, California.
Hello, Debbie. Good evening to you and welcome.
Hello. Hi. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Debbie.
Hello.
All right.
It's quiet, huh?
Yes.
Good.
So what I want to mention, if you're listening in on BBS and you are not aware of it, we do our daily Whole Planet Healing Call right after this show on BBS. So the Whole Planet Healing Call, 7 days a week at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And that is only per telephone accessible. You can find the information at wholeplanethealing.com. And I will also next give you the phone number, which is 712-770-4340. And the access code is 250-513-pound. Like I said, you can see the information, but I just gave you that number also at hopeandhealing.com, and it is 712-770-4340, access code 250-513-pound. We gather on the phone line, chat around for a bit, then Win mutes the phone lines and either reads an excerpt of the channel material or he plays a recording, where after we do our Win leads the call it a meditation, you can call it a group calling with the different issues of the world in the light. Like the earthquake, like under the circumstances, like what we have going on with the coronavirus, things like that, surround all issues with love, light, for resolution, for peace, harmony, well-being of humanity. 7 days a week, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And tonight, call here live on BBS, simulcast to the conference call, as we have people calling in on the phone line. Questions and answers with the Elohim. I welcome the next live caller. Thanks for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, hi, everyone. Shirley from Ohio.
Good evening, Shirley. Welcome.
Hi, Shirley.
Hi, Lauren.
And the next person, welcome to you. Please say a name and location.
Hi, hi, it's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the call, Don.
Hi, Don.
Hi, who's that?
Your neighbor.
Yeah, your Shirley.
Barb, Shirley. I got lots of neighbors.
Shirley. Yeah.
Brian, are you there? Feeling better, Lauren?
Yeah, I am. Thank you.
All right, good. Lauren, okay, never mind.
Good evening and welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's the Cecil, the C6 Serpent from Seattle.
Welcome to the call, Cecil.
Hey, Cecil.
Thank
Cecil.
You. Hi, guys.
Hi, Cecil.
Hi, family.
All right.
Lauren, I was going to ask you something. I'm going to change my mind. I was going to ask you what your opinion on viruses was, but I don't think I will. Unless you feel like it.
They're an annoyance.
I remember hearing a story a long time ago. I mean, I've heard a few things. One was from the guy who was like the founder of the Sedona method and release technique. And he said to one guy who became his one of his major students, the first thing he ever said to that guy was, there's no such thing as a germ.
There was one
I found out.
Go ahead, Julie.
What was that?
I was just going to say I found out that I had a severe reaction to ACE inhibitors.
Okay. Don't take them.
Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Positive greetings. Hi from Sedona. It's Raiden.
Hello, Raiden. Positive greetings to you.
Thank you.
Two more people joined in. Welcome to you, folks. Please say a name and location. Bless you.
Hi, it's Mary Eileen. Hello, everyone.
Hello, Mary Eileen.
Hi,
welcome.
Hi.
Mary.
More people have joined in. Welcome to you all. If you want to, please say a name and location.
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Hello, Terry.
Hi,
good evening. Welcome.
Hi,
Terry.
Hi, everybody.
All right.
Yeah, the compound is pit viper venom. And I got really sick on it. Gave me severe...
Good. Why would you take pit viper venom?
It's lisinopril or atenolol, a usual blood pressure medicine.
Mm.
That's, yeah.
Okay.
Very controlled amount.
A homeopathic dose.
Almost.
Yeah, I had like severe angioedema from it. It was kind of scary.
I guess, yeah.
I was glad I went off of it.
Being bit by a viper would be scary.
Yeah.
You ever get bit by one and fight them back?
Yeah, eat them.
They'll be sorry.
Gotta show them.
Reminds me of the guy that was up hiking in the mountain and it got cold and he found a snake and the snake said, "Can I sleep in here? Bed with you tonight?" And the guy said, "Well, if you won't bite me." And the snake said, "Okay." So they slept together. The next morning, they got up and the snake bit him. And he said, "Hey, how come you bit me?" And he said, "Well, I'm a snake. That's what we do."
Yeah, I heard that one.
Yeah.
Someone else joined into the call. Welcome. Please say a name and location.
Hi. So this is Edgina.
Edgina, guten Abend. Welcome.
Hello, everybody.
And the next caller, welcome to you. Please say a name and location. But of course, only if you want to, we welcome you.
This is Edgina from Snohomish.
Yavul.
Correct. Snohomish, Washington.
Yavul. Yeah, this is Cecil from just north of the border.
Seattle, right? Yeah.
Someone else joined into the call. Welcome to you. Please say your name and location.
Antonio in California.
Antonio, welcome.
Hi, Antonio.
Hi, Antonio.
Hi, Mary Eileen. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, sweetheart.
You missed somebody.
Hi, Grandma White Dove. Grandma White Dove here?
No, she's not.
Oh.
Still flying.
I know wind.
Maybe you were confusing Lauren for Grandma White Dove.
Oh. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, Grandma White Dove.
Good one.
Hi, Terry. I recognize Terry's laugh.
Hi.
That's Mr. Grandma White Dove.
To you, Mr. White Dove, to you.
Mr. Ed, you know, if you know where the Nile Country Club is, I'm just north of that.
Oh, I don't think I do.
You're not a member?
Right on the county line.
Yeah, okay. So it's north of Seattle. Okay.
Yes.
Hi, Sarah.
It's just north of the county line.
Oh, okay.
Is Sarah on? Hi, Sarah, if you're on. Edna, you're not a member of that country club?
Oh, no, that's not Sarah. That's Edna. Hi, Edna.
Hi. I'm not yet.
Maybe
one day.
To the next caller, please say a name and location.
Grandma White Dove in Idaho.
Hello, Grandma White
Dove.
Hi, Grandma White Dove.
Hi, White Dove.
Hi, Antonio.
Hello, Grandma White Dove.
Like, to me, Sarah from Chicago and Edna, they kind of sound the same.
Oh, nice.
Hi, Edna.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you. How are you?
Doing wonderful, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And for those that have joined in on BBS Radio, thank you so much for being here. And I believe we had another caller joined in here. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's John Menander.
John Menander, good evening. Welcome.
Thanks.
Hi, John Menander.
Hi, John Menander.
Hello.
Howdy.
For those that want to submit a question for this show here tonight, you can do so by emailing Wynn to the email address as follows, questions@intelligence-infinity.com. questions@intelligence-infinity.com.
Was that Sparky I heard?
Nope, Sparky's outside tonight.
Aw, I heard somebody's cat.
Yeah, wasn't Sparky. We have company that has a dog, and Sparky doesn't come in when the dog is here. Just when her dog is here.
Is the spirit channel working? I just tried going on it, and the page not found.
I think he has to find a new server.
Again?
I don't know. Did it work since you found it?
Yeah, because the one...
Welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Dr. Art? Hampton, Virginia.
Welcome, Dr. Art.
Hi, Dr. Art.
Dr. Art.
Hey.
It was working last week.
Dr. Art, what do you think about viruses?
You mean what I think about them?
What do you think about them?
Let me first welcome the next caller. Good evening, welcome. Please say name and location. Hello, Helen.
Hi, Helen.
Hi.
Hi, Helen.
Hi, Helen. Hi, Helen.
Hi.
Do you know
about Vin, his whereabouts? Okay, I'll go and round him up here.
Thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
Had another day or two.
Good evening. Someone else joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location. But of course, only if you want to, we welcome you.
Hey, I was talking to Wendy Paul to submit my question, and he said he was going through questions.
Give me the address again for the questions there. Was it questions at infinity something?
Questions at intelligent-infinity. Two poor people joined in. Good evening to you folks. Please say your name and location.
Hi, guys. It's Janie and Citrus Heights.
Hi, Janie.
Hi, Janie. Good evening. Welcome.
Hi, Janie.
Thank you for being here.
Does somebody have a question that they couldn't fit in for tonight?
Me.
Who is that?
I sent in three.
I could send another one in.
I'm on the call.
I already sent three. Check earlier today, I sent three.
Hi, John.
I didn't get an answer.
Cecil.
Yes. Cecil, what is your question, Cecil?
Well, when I look in the mirror and look at my forehead, I see under my skin a series of circles, almost like a bunch of letters. I'm trying to figure out if that's a follow-through on the previous life, maybe from the DNA. Follow through. I don't recall having any incidents in this life that would have caused that.
When I look at the mirror at my forehead,
patterns under my skin, yes.
Circles under your skin, right?
Yes.
And it's kind of making the skin wrinkles, right?
Well, not making the skin wrinkle, but it looks like a pattern under there, almost maybe some fat cells or old injury or something like that.
Welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Phyllis from Squim, Washington.
Hello, Phyllis. Welcome.
Hi, Phyllis.
Hi, Phyllis.
Yeah, there's a bunch of us. There's three of us who dialed the old code number and didn't get in. So Prudy found this number on the website. Maybe that's
right.
Key.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
This is Juliet from Alchemist.
Hello,
Michigan.
Juliet. Welcome.
Hi, Juliet.
Hello, Juliet.
You made it.
I called Monday.
I'm giggling because there were three of us that were using an incorrect listener code. And so we were all chatting, and then I went to the BBS radio site and found the correct listener code. So it's
all right.
That's why I'm giggling.
Mm. All right. Yeah, I dialed in for Monday.
Good evening. We all grouped together now. We're phoning back in again.
Welcome, Wanda.
I think I had a brain spur today.
Okay, hang on just a moment. I just want to make sure I got Cecil's question. I see circles under my skin. Can you tell me anything about why they're there? Okay?
Yes, sir. Could it be from DNA from the last life or anything like that?
Juliet.
Yes.
Where are you located?
I'm in Okemos, Michigan.
In Michigan, all right. Hey, welcome.
Thank you.
Where in Michigan?
Okemos. It's in central Michigan, not pretty close to the capital.
Right. Yeah.
Good to have you with us.
The capital of Michigan, Grand Rapids.
Lansing.
He didn't say circles, he said patterns.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi. It's Jennifer from Greensburg, PA.
Welcome,
hi,
Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer. Love you guys.
What's
the capital of Detroit?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do that too. I in the mirror.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Sarah from Chicago.
Hi, Sarah. Welcome.
Hi, Sarah.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah, but we usually don't have three people that do it all at the same time and join up all at the same time.
Oh, right. I know, that was wild. One more person. Welcome to you. Please say a name and location. But, of course, only if you want to. Wynn, you want to hit it off?
I'm hitting it off. Okay.
All right. I got the dings.
Mute the dings.
Muted.
The
recording has started. Is no longer being recorded.
Okay, you do it.
Okay.
The recording has started.
This is February 19th, 2020. Wynn and Terry in Sedona. Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
And we're not ready to start, right?
No, I'm not ready.
We always feel we've learned how not to be ready. Because if we were ready, we would be thinking, oh, my God, all these people are going to be listening to us. I hope we make a good impression. And
no, I'd be thinking, I have no idea what's going on with circles under his skin. I don't like to hear the questions beforehand.
Right. But we are going to ask questions to our sources who seem to have a pretty good track record on things that we can verify of being able to look at things in a very high way, seeing patterns in us, seeing even health issues before we know them, and we don't know what they're going to say. Which, if we did, we would be ready, and then
right.
we would do a bad job. Okay? So, we've given up on looking good a long time ago. And, you know, this is not a matter of looking good. This is a matter of bringing forth for many people, very valuable information and understandings that can't be gotten anywhere else that I know. So on that note, we're going to start, okay? We're going to be asking questions to an intelligence which identifies itself as a group soul at the beginning of creation. And actually, another group soul, which was a product of creation, that the terminology is they graduated from this realm, they had lifetimes. The other group soul didn't have lives, but the other one does. One's called the Elohim group, and the other is called the Ra group. And the Ra group is made of millions of souls that had bodies and graduated and teamed together on the other side. And both souls are extremely wise. In general, the Elohim group is more powerful than the Ra group because they can project energy anywhere into the universe. And sometimes they can rearrange things so the physical reality changes in what looks like a miracle from this level.
the rock group, because they had bodies, have certain wisdoms on how to untrap yourself from the cycles of reincarnation, which everybody goes through. You know, you may not know this, but sometimes people have 1,000 lifetimes. And it's like, what does it take to go to a higher realm than this realm? And the Ra group knows what it takes. And it was the Ra group, to my understandings, who was speaking through Edgar Cayce, and early David Wilcock, and we had developed a vibrational resonance with both groups, and at a certain point they said, let's team up, and depending on the question, we can have more, what's the word here, breadth of knowledge and wisdom to give better answers. So this is a rare situation, and we're going to start. We start out by doing an invocation of protection. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect everyone on this line, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and be transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Give us a moment. We take a moment and we position ourselves so that we are available to each and every person on the line who wishes to connect with us. We honor free will so that if someone does not wish to connect with us, you do not bring our connection near them. If we ever say anything that doesn't make sense to you, disregard it. It is not meant for you at that time or does not apply to you. We are here. This is we're a conglomeration of aspects of the Elohim group and the Ra group, and we come together to provide a greater range, a broadband range that we can contact more people and we can provide better answers to your question based upon what aspect of us is available and has knowledge of the answer. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. And our first question is from Antonio. And Antonio has read about something called spirit totems. It's kind of a Native American cosmology which links a person to having an animal that they're connected to. Now, I don't know if it's an actual physical animal or whether it is the higher energy imprint of that animal's template. And his question is that true?
Yes, that is true. It is similar to the Chinese. They have a year that's frequency, the year of, and they name a certain animal. And so when a person is born in a certain year, they are connected to that type of an animal, and often they will have an affinity for that type of an animal. For instance, a dog might be one example. So the Indians in with the totems are spiritually connected to the different animals, and then each individual has his own totem and can use that in expression of connection to a particular animal.
Does that mean there's an actual a discarnate animal that is energetically connecting with the person?
It is generally the spirit of the animal. As humans, animals also have aspects in tentacles or connections with higher densities, and they carry the spirit of that animal that the animals of a certain category, many of them have in common.
So does that mean one of these animals will choose to over, you know, like be your guardian of sorts?
Well, that would be, it would be the spirit of that animal could say identify with you and can have some aspect of protection. For mm-hmm. you.
And do you usually have one animal for your entire life, or can they change? Or can you request an animal?
One generally identifies with one. And
the human identifies with an animal.
Yeah, with the spirit of a certain animal, like a dog, say, or a wolf, or an eagle.
Yeah. Okay. And that would bring in the spirit of that animal.
Yeah, they would have some resonance. Yes.
Okay. And if one wanted certain qualities, for example, let's suppose one wanted courage, and they started identifying with a lion. Does that work?
It kind of works the other way around. They have a quality, and then they can identify with that aspect of some animal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then Antonio asks, do I have a connection with an animal, and have I met my spirit totem?
You do have a connection with an animal. And in fact, with more than one animal. We see more than one animal, and you can see what it is that you resonate with. For instance, do you resonate with an eagle flying high and soaring in the air?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it could be any animal. It could be like a rabbit. It could be an eagle.
Could be a rabbit. A lion.
It could be a cat, right?
There are generally categories that are used.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But you're not going to tell them what animal it is, right?
We would. We see aspects of different animals, and we would prefer that he seek this out.
Okay. Thank you. John Siboransky asks, what happened to the Anasazi Indians, and why did they disappear? Now, I looked up Anasazi Indians because I've heard that word many times, but I don't know, never knew exactly what it was. So this is just a very quick reading of something about that Anasazi Indians. The ancient Puebloans, Anasazi, were a prehistoric Native American civilization centered around the present-day Four Corners area of the United States. And the Four Corners, I know, is where four states come together. I think Arizona, Utah, maybe Colorado, and I'm not sure of the other one, but in that area. The ancestors of the modern Pueblo people, including the Hopi, Zuni, and Puebloans, do not prefer the term Anasazi, often referred to as the ancient Pueblo people or ancestral Puebloans. The modern Hopi call them Hisatsinome, people of long ago. The word Anasazi is Navajo for ancient ones or ancient enemy. Archaeologists still debate when a distinct Anasazi culture emerged. But the current consensus suggests they first appeared around 1200 BC. The ancient Puebloans first settled in the plateau area where water was plentiful, with their initial locations at Chaco Canyon, Mesa Verde, and Cayente. They originally were nomadic hunters and gatherers, but later they began cultivating crops and building permanent dwellings. Archaeologists have split these different eras into two groups, calling them the basket makers and the Puebloans. The basket makers camped in the open or lived in caves as they wandered the plains, hunting with wood clubs, hunting sticks, and spears. Now, I'm not finding here where they say they disappeared. It sounds like they were split into various tribes. But they didn't, I don't see anything saying they mysteriously disappeared.
Does John have anything on that?
No, he doesn't. All he says is the question. And he's assuming they disappeared. You know, he says, you know, what happened to the Anasazi Indians and why did they disappear?
And from what I'm reading, I'm just going down to see that they were the ancestors of the modern Pueblo peoples who live at Hopi, Zuni, Acoma, and many other Rio Grande Pueblo towns of New Mexico. As to why they left, there are several theories. A drought occurred 1275 AD. Other causes may have been a nuclear winter caused by a volcanic eruption. And it's known the area was subject to increased violence and warfare by the newly arrived Apache and Navajos. In 1325, the Kachina phenomena appeared. This was a religion that some believed integrated the Puebloan society into the Hopi and the Zuni tribes.
The Kachina, what is the Kachina?
The Kachina phenomena?
Yeah. Is that?
I don't know. All I know is in Sedona, they have a bunch of people that have Kachina dolls. This was a religion. The Kachinas were a religion that some believe integrated the Puebloan society into the Hopi and Zuni tribes. The ancient Puebloans also created many petroglyphs and pictographs and are known for their unique style of pottery.
Yes, we see several instances of them, quote, disappearing, end quote. One of them is that they went incognito because of the warlike qualities of some of the other tribes against them, who raided them and took their supplies. Many of them died and then were reincarnated into other tribes. So they were their own ancestors. We see that when there was a group of them who were taken up they were descended from star people, and that the star people came back and took them back to their planet of origin, and many of them had to leave because of the drought and because there was little food and water, and so they went in parties to other areas and integrated into other tribes.
Thank you. Just as a quick question, in one book I read called Voyagers, it was indicated that there were various interplanetary
outposts
on Earth, and some of us are derivatives of those outposts. In fact, we know that's true because that's been talked about, the people on the line. And what they said was these other planetary societies, in some cases, were going to come back and pick up their people on this planet if things get really intense here.
Yes, and that happened with parts of that tribe. That, they were under attack, and food was very sparse, and their home people came and offered them a ride back.
Mm-hmm. Is that possible to happen in the future here?
Yes, but one has to be very careful that one is not deceived by whoever might come back thinking they're, we don't wish to convey the information that if some star people come to just go with them, because that may not be, that may be a ruse or a decoy, and it may not be healthy or safe. Generally, the tribe, they have the story passed down verbally from father to son of the home and of the specific people. For instance, some of the tribes in Africa were visited, that were outposted there, were visited by people from Lake Ceres to come and update them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Next question from Cecil from Seattle. When I look in the mirror in my forehead, I see circles that form patterns under my skin. Can you share why they are there? Does it have to do with some past lives, with DNA?
Thank you. There are a network under the skin of blood vessels, and there can be even tiny ones, and that can form as something visible on the surface. We take a further look. DNA, of course, would follow the patterns and would where the circles go, then the DNA would then conform to that. We see that there was in my past life some heightened elevated reason for those patterns in the past life to be there. This then conforms to your an aspect of your soul matrix that can then bring this through in this life, particularly as you get older.
Does this connect with the third eye, since it's on its forehead?
That was one aspect we considered, is in some of the Indian cultures, they enhance the area in the third eye. We see that this is more broader than that, however.
Thank you. This is from Jenny in Lake Balboa, California. I was wondering if our sources could please provide some insight. Early morning at around 1:45 a.m. this Wednesday morning, now I assume this was not today, I assume it was probably a week ago, but she just sent the question in today, so maybe it was today, but I think it probably was not. But let me read on. My three-year-old daughter and I were both asleep together. I woke up from a dream with incoherent whispering. I felt a presence as if someone was leaned over whispering something. I thought I might still be dreaming, but a couple of seconds after I woke up, my daughter woke up, sat up, and stared at the direction where the whispering was coming from. It continued about 10 seconds longer and stopped. In the morning, I told my grandma, who lived with us, and she told me she experienced the same thing 3 days prior and saw a figure with a dark hood over it. Can you share some insight on this?
Thank you. We suggest that you be very careful to monitor the people in your house, check with them every day and on their health and their eating habits, and ask them how they're feeling, and to monitor that as you know, for a period of time to do this, and make sure that the people in your house are healthy and are okay, as this figure can represent an aspect of a spirit who comes sometimes in some people's houses and lives to take away a person to sickness or illness, or when there might be something going wrong.
Thank you. Is this something Fred could help with?
Definitely. Fred could. We suggest to get a hold of Fred.
Fred's website is heavenlyclearings.com, heavenlyclearings.com. And he's really good at this stuff. We've recommended him, and he's gotten rid of these kinds of negative entities that are surrounding somebody. Okay. Next question from Don Herman. How should one conduct oneself when fear, real or imagined, is being promoted? Now, when Don is saying promoted, it sounds like someone else is doing things to promote fear, and not that it's coming from yourself. And people do promote things to create fear. And if I may make one comment from my experience, after doing these calls for the length of time that we've been doing them, I find that I have really grounded the belief that we don't die. And usually when there's fear, there's fear of survival in some way, whether it's from, you know, the coronavirus or war or a local gang coming to do you in. And as you integrate this idea that you really don't die, as really as you get it on a visceral level, and that when you die, when you do die, you're still alive, just in another realm, it is a great impetus for me of being afraid of things. But let me turn it over to our sources and let them share their look at this.
Because we go back for a minute to Jen, and we suggest that you pay particular attention on behalf of your grandmother. Now, give us a moment. When someone is promoting fear, fear is not necessarily misplaced. Fear can be an appropriate reaction. For instance, the one lady once who said she was very afraid in her house and wanted to know how she could get over it. And so we ask, well, where did she live? She lived in a very bad part of Chicago, and that was had a lot of dark around. And so they suggested that that could be a legitimate cause of fear, and she may look into a possibility of changing areas to something that seems safe, or take other means for protection. So if someone is promoting fear, then it is good to not just dismiss it, but to evaluate it, evaluate the source, and whether it is something to be paid protection, get protection from or paid attention to, and check it out. Is there a valid reason of endangerment? In general, the question needs to be looked at further, and the specific thing that's and the source of the promotion of something fearful needs to be checked out.
Thank you. You know, one story is we happen to know somebody who was on Maldek before it exploded. And apparently there were certain people, and I don't know how many, that knew there was a chance of this happening. And they got on a spaceship and left. And they saw the planet explode as they were looking back. And in that circumstance, they saved themselves from having the fragmented soul of the Maldekians that became entangled masses here. So we may not all have the opportunity to get on the spaceship and leave, but for example,
and we might not trust the spaceship either.
We might not trust the spaceship. Everyone's got to make their best choices. But say, for example, in terms of the coronavirus, that it seems like it's good to take precautions. And not at the moment in this country, necessarily. It doesn't seem like it's a big threat, but to keep your eyes on it. Be prepared to have food and water where you can survive in your apartment for a month or two if you needed to. because that's what the people in China are having to do. My supplier for our pendants, they can't ship things right now, but she's been in her apartment for 22 days, and they're ordering their food online rather than going out shopping. Okay, next question. And I think this is our last question for tonight. And it's 7:55, so we don't have much time. But I'll ask it anyway. We'll see how far we can get on it. This is from Isis in Sedona. Crystals are like CDs that can be programmed with both positive and negative energies, and even entities. I heard that once a crystal has been programmed, the programming can only be overridden by a frequency that is higher than the original program. Is this true concerning crystals?
We see that clearing of crystal can be cleared by a frequency that is higher. However, there are other ways to clear a crystal by causing the energy of the distortion within the crystal to be erased. There are various ways of erasing it. One is with one's own projection to the crystal that the distortion be removed.
Some people say to put crystals in the sun or underwater.
Yes.
Erase them, to recharge them.
Yes. That is also correct.
And if you don't have fear, you can create a ritual of your own energy to shift the crystal, I think. Yes?
The crystal will pick up the image of the person's soul frequencies.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The longer they wear it, the more it gets ingrained.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That is our last question for tonight. Any closing comments?
We take a moment and we disengage from this questions and answers, and we then become more diffuse and We send love light to each and every person on the line who wishes to receive it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here, and thank all of you for being here. And we're going over to Whole Planet Healing. If you want to join us, 712-770-4340. The PIN is 250513. 712-770-4340. 250513. Thank you. Thank you all for being here.
Unmuted.
Thank you from Seattle.
Thank you.
Thank you.